الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I'm your host, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or just some way of taking notes. And you can either have a Quran and go to the neighborhood store or bookstore or place of worship for the Muslims, and they may even give you one, or you go buy one online. Or you go to Quran.com, that's Quran.com, C-O-M, and you get it for free there. And they have Quran in Arabic and English, and you just follow along with me. If I say go to chapter so-and-so, verse so-and-so, so you just go to that on the site, and then just follow along with me. The English may be a little bit different between mine and theirs, but it had a general information there. So let's move on. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic, before I get into it, it's really going to be a compilation the general values and the contributions of Muslims or Islam. So I'm going to look at the aspects of the values and the contribution of the Islamic faith or individuals within the Islamic faith. So let's start off with this, because a lot of what I'm going to talk about, you all pretty much know. I'm just kind of going to make it smaller, and so you can understand it and try to mold it a little bit for you to take home with you, or to digest it, or to have that knowledge for you for yourself. Again, a lot of this you already know. You've been attending my classes for several years now. I believe I'm going on 8 years right now of having these classes, and some of you have been attending classes ever since then, and perhaps some of you just came on board, and that's okay too, because you both groups are welcome. Now let's go to Islam. It's one of the world's major religions. It is rich in history, teachings, and traditions. It has over 2 billion adherents worldwide, and offer profound spiritual guidance and moral framework. Here are some of the positive aspects of the Islamic faith. We're talking about the values of promoting peace and also compassion. And I talked about compassion before. So let's start with the emphasis on peace. The word Islam itself is derived from salam, meaning peace. Islamic teachings often emphasize maintaining the harmony between communities and avoid conflict. Also, you talk about compassion and generosity under the heading or category of Islam, positive aspects of Islam, and that is, again, compassion and generosity. Charity is an integral part or piece to Islam, of Islam. When you talk about zakat, I talked about zakat before, sadaqah, basically charity, and encouraging Muslims to assist those in need selflessly. Also, under the same umbrella, we have ethical and moral guidelines of Islam. And that is, we have respect for others. Islam teaches the importance of what? Of treating people with dignity and kindness, regardless of their background or beliefs. It doesn't matter to us about a person's background or their belief. We ought to treat them with dignity, respect, and kindness. Also, underneath the heading of ethical and moral guidance or guidelines is justice and fairness, meaning advocating for justice is a cornerstone of Islamic teachings, ensuring fairness and equality in all dealings. And so it also has always keeps that in mind, even against our own self. We bear witness of standing for justice, even against our own selves, or against those people who are rich or poor. Those people are great people or not great people. We still going to stand up for justice and looking out for those who are the weaker ones. I have mentioned to you all before, listen to some of my previous episodes about Abu Huraira. It was Abu Sadiq. Abu Bakr, who was the father-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he would encourage us dealing fairly with others and being just to others. He told people in his first speech to the people, he said, look, those of you who are big, if you will, wealthy or whatever, have a lot of strength and power, look, I'm going to look out for these other guys, the little guy. And those of you who have the strength and his power over them, I'm going to not harder on you. I'm not going to just be on your side because you have this strength and this power over little guy. I'm going to do what's fair and what is right. Also, in Islamic faith, and another aspect of it, of its values, if you will, is community and brotherhood. For example, it has a sense of community. Islam fosters strong communal bonds through a shared rituals like daily prayers and annual events such as the Ramadan. And Ramadan, we fast on the month of Ramadan. Muslims are over the world. The month of Ramadan comes in 29 or 30 days. As I told you all before, all of us fast. Muslims from all over the world are able to do so. They're going to fast. And then with the end, 29, 30 days, then they break their fast, and then we have the Eid al-Fitr, if you will, and where we celebrate the ending, basically the ending of the Ramadan. And so we're fasting not just to be hungry ourselves, but also we can relate to those people who are hungry, those people who do not have anything to eat. And so we could relate to those particular people. And we don't have a choice in the matter, something that we are encouraged to do. And if we don't do it, then we get certain, and then we have to, I won't call it punishment, but this is what we have to do to make amends to us deciding on our own, just I'm not going to fast this month. So for every day a person does not fast, then they have to do 60 consecutive days of fasting per day that they miss. Not the whole 30 days, no, per day. If I miss fasting the day intentionally, and then that's 60 days. Then I do the same thing tomorrow, so that's another 60 days, 120 days that I have consecutive days that I have to do. Also, we talk about community and brotherhood. We're talking about a global unity. As I mentioned before, we have at least 2 billion Muslims all over the world. And the concept of Ummah Tawahida, one brotherhood, unites Muslims across the world, promoting the idea of collective responsibility and mutual support. And so no matter where I go in the world, particularly if I know the Arabic language, then someone in within that group, more than likely, they know Arabic. That's one of our common languages we have amongst ourselves is Arabic. Someone study overseas or that kind of thing, and they're pretty strong in the area of knowing Arabic, so I can speak with that individual, and then they can translate for me. But the thing is still, they welcome me as one brother, which I'm going to talk about later on. Again, Ummatul Wahida, meaning one Ummah or one nation, and that's who we are. We also have the spiritual growth and self-discipline. And that is, for example, prayer and reflection. The practice of five daily prayers provides the moments of reflection and gratitude, strengthening one's spiritual connection. And so when we get in line for prayer, we're as one. We're there to make the morning prayer. We're standing as one. There's no ranking involved, and no people that you have more money, you're richer, so you're going to stand in the front line and I stand in the back. It doesn't work like that. We're shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot with anybody from wherever they are from all over the world. We stand shoulder to shoulder and foot to foot with them. And they don't ask us, okay, how much money we make per year. And we don't ask them how much you have in the bank. So we know our place and they will know their place. The place is trying to get to the front line just because you get more blessings being on the front line. And then the next line, the second line, and then the third ranks of people giving make the prayer to the same God, Allah. Also, fasting during the month of Ramadan. I'm doing fasting promotes self-control and emphasis for those facing hunger, fostering both spiritual and moral growth. So we have empathy for those who are facing hunger. We can relate to empathy, sympathy, whatever, for those who are hungry and relate to them. And so we see a person digging in the trash, looking for something to eat. We can relate to that particular person because we know what it's like not to have any food. And if we didn't fast at all, for example, for whatever reason, still as a Muslim, that's part of our spiritual selves and that we're supposed to take care of those who are in need. Also, we're talking about cultural and intellectual contributions. For example, as far as Islam and Muslims are concerned, advances in knowledge, meaning historically, Muslim scholars have made significant contributions to fields such as mathematics, medicine, astronomy, and philosophy. Those are just some of the areas where we have surpassed many other people or made some type of contribution to these particular fields. But you can look this up for yourself. I'm not going to go into details concerning. What do you mean by that? This scholar, that scholar. I'm not getting into that right now. We're just going to get into, yes, we have contributed. And that could be your homework that you go and look it up and see how much Muslims contribute in talking about mathematics, medicine, philosophy, and astronomy. Then you're talking about a rich artistic heritage that we have. You have Islamic, and that is Islamic art and architecture, also including calligraphy and mosques. You look at some of our mosques, those are some very beautiful places, showcase creativity and devotion. Matter of fact, one of the classes I took in class, it was Islamic art. And it was a beautiful class that I took. And one of the things, if you look for yourself, a lot of time you can look in some of the places of worship, the mosque, and they have the domes. And then you look up at the domes or around the domes, then it has kind of architecture there. And one of the primary things I saw there or learned is that when you look at it, at the artwork, it has no beginning and no end. And that's the beautiful thing about it, creativity about it, about the particular thing we're talking about artwork. And I saw that in my studies, and I saw pictures of it. And you go to go to a mosque, and sometimes you may see that on the walls or the ceilings or around near the domes, where they had the artwork there that does not have any beginning and doesn't have anything, any kind of end to it. So let me move on. Also, Islam, the values, contribution of Islam, is we're talking about focusing on the environmental stewardship. And that is, for example, we care for the environment. Islamic teachings emphasize the responsibility of humans as stewards of the earth, advocating for stability to stabilize the practices and respect for the natural world. And so we are, it's a lot of blessings in contributing to the natural world. Because it'll say, when I mentioned before, that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he mentioned that if a person plant a tree or seedling, and they get a lot of blessings in this world and the next, any kind of person or animal that eats from the tree, live in the tree, seeks shelter from the tree, anything like that, then they get the blessing for that. No matter how long the tree is around, sometimes trees are around for a lot of years, 800, 900 years sometimes, a tree. Depends on the circles. When you cut the tree and you go to the stump of the tree, and then you see for yourself the different circles there, and these circles represent years that has been growing. But I won't get into that, because that is not our class. But we are pushed and encouraged to plant trees, particularly for the benefit of mankind. Keep in mind, my beautiful students, when you're talking about Islam, you're talking about positive aspects, reflects its deep guidance on living a virtuous, also compassionate, and balanced life. Teachings not only help adhere spiritually, but also contribute meaningfully to broadening humanity through ethics, community values, and also intellectual achievements. Again, we have the situation where when a person embraces Islam, that embraces a worldwide 2 billion strong family. And we embrace people that come into Islam as family members. We would call him or her, him brother, and her my sister. And a lot of times we hug them when they come into Islam and welcome to our family. And so no matter where you go in the world, where the Muslims are, you are welcome among those who are practicing Islam properly. You are welcome to them. A lot of times you go to some homes, they, you can't leave their home if you don't sit down, eat some tea and drink some tea. Or eat some type of pastry or something. You just can't do that. That's the hospitality that is done in many Muslims' homes. And it's just something you can't get around. I experienced this a lot when I was in various places in the Mideast, for example. Although a lot of people may show the Mideast as a barbaric and bad place, but when I was there, I received a lot of hospitality when I was around a lot of the Muslims who were there. When you're talking about something to drink, some tea or something to drink, some kind of pastry, and then to have a good conversation, how are you, how's your family, and that sort of thing, and welcome you. And also Islam pushes requests a person to, you can let the person stay in your house for 1 to 3 days, for example. After that, they may have to look at, maybe it's time for me to leave. So you may be intruding at that time in that person's personal space, but they more than likely would allow you to stay with them with no problem in most cases. And so let me move on. And Islam is colorblind, without any room for racism. Although for some people, being a racist or practicing racism is like a badge of honor for a lot of people. I'm this race and part of this group that also look like me. You're not part of our group or our tribe, then we shun you. We don't have anything to do with you. And like I mentioned to you about Bilal, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad, it was said to him by Abu Dhar, which is one of the companions of the Prophet. He said, you know, something about, they got a little argument, and he said something about your black mother, something negative. And so got back to the Prophet, and he basically scolded the man about it. And so then the man, Abu Dhar, went to Bilal and asked for his forgiveness. And, you know, will you please, like, walk on my neck? You know, I'm your floor mat, because I want you to please forgive me for what I said. I shouldn't have said that. Because the Prophet had said to him, Abu Dhar, he said to him, look, Jahiliyyah, meaning ignorance, has not left you to say that kind of thing towards your brother who's from a different tribe or different color. And so in Islam, it has no room for racism within our ranks. And I mentioned before that we pray five times a day at the same time and to the same supreme being, which is Allah. And so I just want to just mention a few things to my students, so, and also those who are new students, about some of the values and contribution of the faith of Islam. In Islam, we do not get into one group of people is better than another group. It doesn't work like that amongst people who are truly practicing Islam, and that we are to depend on Allah alone and not depend on anyone else. And the thing is that Allah says, look, ask of me. You're going to seek help from me. This is what Allah instructs us to do. And further, I want to mention to you all that we are to work to please the Creator and not the creation. That's what we're supposed to do. That we, Allah created us in jinn, meaning jinn is another being we can't see. Allah created and also mankind. Why? To worship Allah. That's why we're here. So people get into the thing, why was I born? Why was I created? Why am I here? Now you know. You here to worship Allah, to obey Allah, to follow the rules and the regulations that Allah has laid out for us, for our success in this world and also in the next world. And I want to mention the last thing is that we are created to worship our Lord. What I mentioned to you all before is that we are. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we have to do. And that's what we must do. My respected students. And so you have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Dr. Hassan Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.